แล้วจังค่อยฟังโอ้ยละนาSomebody, lady and gentleman, the boy and the girl, I so sing song bong fire
And welcome to Radio National ABC. Radio National, not to be confused with Radio National ABC. You're listening to the Lonely Hearts Club. My name's Richard Silk. This is a radio program where men come to talk and women come to find out what, if anything, make them tick. In accordance to the ABC Charter, ABC Radio has to provide broadcasting programs of an educational nature. That's what we're hoping to do tonight when we explore matters of the heart, mind and body andhip pocket for those fiscally minded amongst us. We are joined by three experts in the field of men. They've poked, prodded, explored, inside and out, men of all shapes and sizes. If only they could do that with women, we'd be able to speak about them with some form of clarity. Once again, I am joined in the Lonely Hearts Club by the wonderful choreographer, Lucas Dawson. Lucas, welcome back.
Wang Chung tonight.
That's your...
That's my new catchphrase.
Ah, great. Well, look forward to hearing about your time on Fraser Island.
Can't wait.
Wonderful. And, of course, everybody's favourite showbiz director, who's been in the press as of late because of the Oscars, it's esteemed second unit director, Duncan Jardine.
Yes, good evening, Richard. Good evening, Lonely Hearts. And good evening to anyone listening who might be alone, broken-hearted, betrayed, taken to the cleaners and forced to live in a two-star Pathfinder motel on the outer suburbs of Melbourne.
Mm. Yes, we are sending a special cheerio to all those listeners aforementioned. And, of course, one of the exciting things about the Lonely Hearts Club is we actually all met at a men's group in Healesville, a place called the Hosam Foundation. And one of the gentlemen that we met, who actually stole our hearts, some would say, none of us could actually believe that he was there needing any sort of guidance in socially or emotionally. We, of course, referring to the doctor of the group, Dr. Brendan Norris, who joins us this week for the first time in the Lonely Hearts Club. Doctor, welcome.
Richard, lovely to see you again. Duncan, Lucas. Exciting.
Exciting?
Yeah, exciting. Definitely exciting. Let me bring you up to speed. Of course, with what I do with the medical background, everything is proven, understood, whereas what you took me to a place that was somewhere I hadn't been before. And yeah. If we could possibly go there again today in some sort, I would find it enriching.
Dr. Brendan Norris, ladies and gentlemen, we probably might be referring to him as Brendan later this evening. If you do hear us call him Brendan, that's just because we're trying to break down some stereotypical barriers that society put on people and, by giving them titles.
And because that's his first name.
Sure. We'll be looking forward to hearing about the Norris procedure that Dr. Norris, a.k.a. Brendan, invented and revolutionised orthopaedic surgery. But thanks very much, mate, for coming into the club. We can't wait to catch up on good old times. Speaking of what's on tonight, we'll be chatting to AFI award-winning actor Adam Zwar, spelt with a Z.
Yes.
What did he win the AFI award for?
He won Best Actor on Television, I believe, comedy.
For Wilfred?
On the television show Wilfred.
Or was it not for Lowdown on the ABC?
Well, he wrote, created and directed both shows. Right. Actually, he didn't direct Wilfred, I apologise, but we'll be hearing what it's like to be an actor and popular with women, presumably. Mm. And he's also written some wonderful, wonderful columns about being a man. I know that he's been peppering me with emails all week suggesting hygiene tips, which I'll be discussing with him face-to-face.
Well, I met him at a party. I met him at an opening a few months ago, and all he talked about was hygiene.
Wow.
It's incessant.
Yes, he does carry around two toothbrushes, and we'll be getting to the bottom of that. Mm. We'll be speaking to Estelle Gatenby, very exciting, from the Healesville chapter of the Hosam Foundation, where we all met for the first time since we attended the wellbeing course, the men's wellbeing. And, of course, we'll be discussing first date films, getting some tips on the best ones to view, to watch. Would you prefer, Duncan, a cinema or perhaps in the intimacy of the home?
I think the intimacy of an enormous home projection system.
Wow.
Which is, I've modelled my house on Elton John's house with the 69-seat cinema.
Okay.
And, you know, you come in and bang, there's Tron Legacy.
Wow.
Maybe obtained from a boot of a car at the Dingley Powerhouse. Some fantastic pirate discs out there. Probably shouldn't be talking about this on the ABC.
No. It's an educational program, and we need to contribute to a sense of national identity and inform and entertain. We are, of course, here till midnight tonight, every Saturday until April 2nd, according to the Gregorian calendar. We're going to be joined by Estelle very shortly. But before we do, it's time to loosen your hips, shift your pelvis, and intermittently tense your buttocks. It's Joan Armour Trading. Joan Anita Barbara Armour Trading, MBE. Wonderful.
When did you get the MBE? When was that?
She should have got it earlier.
She should
I'll
have.
Tell you that.
Yeah. She got pipped in 87.
Yeah. Picked it up in the 85 awards after apparently Prince Philip was a huge Drop the Pilot fan.
That's right. He's often heard to say Drop the Pilot, colon, Drop the Mahu. We love to say that?
Drop the Mahu. If you are listening, Prince Philip, we love your Mahu. She was born in St. Kitts, S-A-I-N-T-K-I-T-T-S. And speaking of kittens, we spoke to him briefly before the break, our latest member of LHC, Dr. Brendan Norris, or as I like to call him, Noz.
The B-Dog.
And, of course, Duncan's nickname for Dr. Brendan Norris is...
The Doctor of Love.
Dr. Norris, or Noz, as I may
B-Dog.
Call you. Noz, talking about kits, you actually have a cat yourself, don't you?
I do.
And what's the cat's name?
The cat's name is Eric.
Eric the cat. Animals, always good for great therapy.
Named after Eric Estrada.
Correct.
With okay. K.
Wow.
Great support for me living alone, having a cat. And I thank you guys for working through with me my intimacy problems and an obsession that I had. We talked about it on the... I'm not sure whether I should share with the listeners.
No, it's okay.
That's what the club's for.
I had a problem with... some men like to put on women's clothing. Some men like to get Barbie clothes and put them on a certain part of their body.
Yeah, it's all coming back now.
I had an obsession with that.
Had
an obsession. Well, Barbie's tennis outfit, I would... place it on a certain part of my body and become aroused.
Wow.
Now, I'm sure there are people out there listening who do similar things. Can I say categorically, at the time, it's very pleasurable.
Well, we're not here to judge, Noz.
There is a better world. There is a time when you don't need to. I would be carrying around five or six outfits with me. I would disappear. I would place them on a certain part of my body. I would become aroused. There were some constraining problems there. And anyway, we worked through it, and thank you.
Well, for mine, it actually made a nice change that you were wearing clothing at all.
Well, I'm a nudist as well.
We know.
Yeah.
We know.
Look, I have to say, I mean, I was relieved to find out that it was Barbie sort of clothing, because I think if it had been Sergeant Rock or Ken or Action Man, that'd be frankly weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned the five or six outfits. Can we just run through them again for the listeners? We've got the tennis Barbie outfit,
the
safari suit,
ballroom.
Wow, that does take my breath away. The layer upon layer upon layer, how that goes straight out from your hips is very becoming. There's three.
There's the casual outfit, which is a
corduroy.
And then there was the late night dressing gown. Velour.
Yeah.
I liked E Street Barbie, the nod to Reverend Bob.
In the wheelchair.
That was Wheels.
Yeah. That obviously does constrain you a bit, carrying that wheelchair around, but I do like that it's attached to the pant and inflates, so you're not actually having to lug heavy metal around.
All part of the fantasy, all part of the journey, all part of me that I've moved on from.
Eric the Cat, of course, suggested to us by Estelle Gayton, be joining us later this evening as part of the commitment therapy. Where did you get Eric from, and what type of cat is he?
Well, he's a Bernese, and there's a group of us who get together who dress up cats as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, well, one hand in glove. I'm dressing up certain parts of my body. I'm also dressing up my cat. And there's a group of us, I don't know whether you have heard of them, called Fancy Cats.
Fancy Cats, yes.
Fancy Cats, different outfits and different themes. So, for example, if the Logies are on, we'll all get round and dress up our cats in black tie and ballroom outfits.
Does this arouse you too? Is this another one of the things that arouses
it
you?
Does. Or, yeah, it does.
There's a lot of things that arouse
you. Have you considered filming these activities and putting them on the YouTube, Brendan, because there's a big increasing popularity of cats doing ludicrous things on the internet?
Look, if you can give me some help with that, I'm sure there are people out there who would love to see some of the things that I'm doing.
Well, let me ask, for example, does your cat have any musical ability?
He does.
Yeah? Can he peck out a tune on a grand piano?
Depending on what composer you're talking about.
Right, okay.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, just Do Re Mi, something simple. I mean, if you can get three or four chords next to each other, you're talking a million downloads right there.
I have a pianola.
Oh, yeah.
And what my cat will often do is take position on the pianola, gripping with the claws, but then peddling with the...
The cat is not trying to pass off any musical ability.
No.
But it's able to create the impression. It's smart enough to know that it's looking
I've had to set up a scenario whereby the cat's feet can reach the pedals for the pumping.
Okay.
Piano accordion is another one that my cat is... I'm not saying she's brilliant at it.
Right.
No, it doesn't have to be brilliant.
Well, it has to press the pedals.
Yeah.
And if you knew Susie comes out.
Yeah.
And do you feel this is helping with your therapy?
I do. I'm still working through it. I still need to question why.
Right.
There's a part of me that says, I don't know why and I don't care. I just want to do it.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
I got onto Burmese Brahms the other day. You would be astonished at the amount of Burmese cats that can belt out a few stanzas of Brahms.
Really? Wow. Is there a potentially some work for you, Lucas, as a choreographer for animals?
I've put out a few feelers, but there's not much has come back. But, you know, I just say put it out there in the universe and things might happen.
Perhaps you could get onto the Fancy Cats website.
Fats.
Double E. It's Fancy with a double E and cats with a silent H.
Okay.
Lucas, welcome back to the
club. I thought it was Fanky Chats.
Yeah, but that's probably why the feelers haven't come back.
Okay.
Joan Armour Trading did actually ask me to say thank you, Dr. Norris, for when she toured here last. Brendan treated her for an ingrown toenail.
We said it was an ingrown toenail.
Yeah.
There was more to it than that.
Being an orthopaedic surgeon qualify you to work on people's nails?
As I said, look, I can't go into too much detail. What the media was given was that it was an ingrown toenail.
Okay.
She actually had a hip reconstruction.
Okay.
What I'm finding, I'm working on a new procedure called the Brendan Norris procedure. Shoulders and hips and knees are interchangeable.
Wow. Is that right? So in the future people could go, I'd like a Norris, and you just switch the knee and the shoulder?
Yep.
Is it for cosmetic reasons or
Look, it's great for sportsmen, for dancers, for construction workers. You're finding that you're getting a fuller rotation.
More rotation.
Yeah, more to rotation. You're finding that if I replace a shoulder with a knee, the knee will actually be able to kick for footballers.
Okay.
It'll change the way people play sport.
This is amazing. I don't know if you know this. I'm a choreographer. We've discussed this.
Absolutely.
I have a new move that I've been. It's a pretty audacious move. The rapscallion.
Yeah.
That is extremely dangerous. It's actually very dangerous for me even telling you about it.
Only five people in the world have ever.
Well, I thought it was five. I was wrong. It was four.
Four.
Put it this way, Melissa Couts is currently in Gympie Base Hospital.
Right.
Wow.
But she could use a bit of this because...
I'll just jot down my number.
She hasn't just dislodged her kneecap. Yeah. She's actually lost it.
So Couts in for a Norris?
Couts is in for a Norris.
I would think so.
Wow. The website, Fancy Cats, perhaps they could contact Noz via that, double E, silent H.
Not Fanky Chats.
No cranks.
No cranks, yeah.
But I'll spend the first 2 hours of my day going through cranks, people who aren't taking it seriously.
Dog lovers.
Yep. Mm. Who are sending in mocking...
Yeah.
And I underline mocking photographs of quite painful things done to cats.
Dear, oh dear.
So, you know.
Yes, well, Lucas, you mentioned Gympie. You perhaps were in the region recently.
Well, yeah, I missed the show last week. And, oh, by the way, I must say thank you to all the people in the Twitter sphere who've sent their regards. I'm not actually ill. I wasn't ill, but thank you very much for all your thoughts and your kind words. No, I was actually up in Fraser Island. We had the opening of my new show at Dingo's Bar and Brasserie. I've not only choreographed this one, I've actually co-written it.
Right, what's the show called?
Well, it's an ode to Oprah Winfrey's recent tour down under.
Oh, yeah.
Simply right. Entitled Whole Lotta O.
Right.
Anyway, we decided to start it small because we want to, you know, open it in your regents and your, yeah, and your star cities and your witches in britches next year. But we just wanted to start off slow. And now it stars as Oprah, Duncan. Do you remember Kenny Larkin?
Hang on a second.
He remembers you. I'll give you a hint.
What did
Murder
he do?
Murder Call episode 81.
Oh, Kenny Larkin. 80. Yeah, him and Mockery were a bit of a team for a while.
And he reckons that you are quite the card too. I haven't seen it yet on the show, but he reckons you are...
Well, you know, we're in our official capacity here, yeah, so there's a certain decorum that we have to maintain on the radio. But, yeah, Kenny Larkin, the things that would happen on the set of Murder Call were pretty madcap,
yeah.
I will say
and of
that.
Of course, famously, he was one of the mob, angry mob in Houseboat Horror.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, played Hando in Romper Stomper.
Did he?
Mm.
Right, okay.
So Murder Call, just for those who don't remember, it was a television series.
It was crime solving. It was Peter Mockery and I think Lucy Bell. But really it was Mockery's realm. Was.
Two divorce.
When it was on, you were just thinking Mockery.
And Kenny Larkin reckons it was very Larkin too. But yeah, anyway, but Larkin actually, can I tell you what? Something happened, a bit of an incident happened during the final dress rehearsal on the Saturday afternoon.
What's the theatre called on Fraser Island?
Oh, it's called Donkeys.
Donkeys.
It's in Dingo's Bar and Brasserie, but it's a little offshoot. And anyway, the rapscallion, I've managed to infiltrate it into the show.
Wow.
Good guess.
Wow.
Now, just for the listeners, for the layman out there, it's got a bit of two-step, a little bit of soft shoe, a little bit of Balboa, a healthy little smattering of Neo Crump, and all encapsulated in a little bit of
finishes
Argentine
with
tango.
Of course, you miss... direct the audience opening up with a Point and Chasse.
Wow, that's an in-joke, and I'm glad you got that because only three people in any audience are going to get that. But no, what happened is I warned Coutsy, Melissa Coutsy is back, well, she was back, and now she's back in traction.
Right.
I warned her to warm up. She didn't warm up. She went straight in for the rapscallion and in hospital. But can I just say, her understudy absolutely came up a treat.
Wow, is there anyone we know?
Put it this way, you have not lived until you've seen Colette Mann pull off a rapscallion.
Wow.
Gosh.
Look, I don't want to, you know, spoil any surprises for people who haven't seen the show, but I love how Phantom of the Opera has a chandelier dropping.
Yep.
You are recreating the fantastic moment on Oprah's tour when Hugh Jackman came down on the flying fox and landed eye first on the stage.
Yeah,
I know you weren't able to get Hugh.
I couldn't get Hugh, but what we do is we bring in Matthew Kroc.
Wow.
Formerly the fat kid from Hey Dad, who's now just the normal-looking adult from Whole Lotta O.
Matthew Kroc, of course, was an assistant to Dr. Norris for some time, wasn't he? Yeah, that didn't end well, did it? Work experience. Wow, well, welcome back to the club, Lucas. And
thank you, and I'm glad to be back. Really glad to be back. Well, loved the show last week.
Great to have you back. And any romance up in Fraser Island?
We'll
hear about it.
Yeah, okay. That's actually for a later segment because I do want to talk about it.
Right. Perhaps after 11.
You know, John Paul Young?
Mm-hmm.
Love is in the air?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Love is in Dingoes. The next guest we're having in is very exciting for me because Estelle Gatenby from the Healesville chapter of the Hosam Foundation will be joining us after Pink Martini.
Does any of this ring a bell, Eugene?
Wow. Pink Martini with a song about a gentleman whose name I didn't catch. Very exciting times, boys and girls, because we're joined by the person, I guess you would call her our fairy godmother, the woman who brought us all together by chance, by luck, the serendipitous Estelle Gatenby from the Healesville chapter of the Hosam Foundation, a social and emotional awareness program, which is where we all met. Estelle, welcome to the Lonely Hearts Club.
Thank you, Richard, and congratulations, Hosam, class of 2010.
Wow. Well, for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about what Hosam is, the Hosam Foundation.
Okay, well, Hosam, Home of Sexual Men, was established in 2008, and it's an organisation which really concentrates on men. It's devised by men, it's for men, it's about men, it's run by women.
Great. That's what sets it apart.
It's a real difference in Hosam.
And the services for men that you provide, I guess, would you say you facilitate awareness emotionally and socially?
Yes, that's right, that's right. We facilitate, we lead, we direct, we guide. We find that men, many men out there are very lacking in self-esteem through a number of, you know, there are many reasons for it. Of course, you guys know directly, Brendan, you know, where those self-esteem issues come from. And we work through those together as a group, individually and as a group to move on to the next stage.
Some better than others, as you...
Some better than others, Duncan. Yes, absolutely.
Well, look, I have to say, you know, one of the great techniques they had out there at Hosam was the isolation tanks, you know, the deprivation flotation tanks. And because of, I think you had more numbers than expected, we all had to bunk down together in the one isolation tank.
Surprisingly roomy when we're in there, though.
Well, there was the four of us, and of course Terry Wood was in there, Wesley Deshon, the poet, Roger Cunnington was in there as well. Seven men in an isolation tank, and obviously Dr. Brendan was finding space somehow to manipulate the Barbie outfits, the tiny outfits. But I think when you get seven men in an isolation tank together, you really find out what's going on emotionally and spiritually.
Well, that's where we came up with the game, Whose Hand Is That Anyway?
Yes.
That's right.
That's right. And of course, the isolation tanks, as we went through in our group, represent the womb. It's a form of rebirth, but, you know, we are born into the world together, yet we are not really alone, if you know what I mean. We are a group. Our hands are everywhere and on everything.
Yeah. The quotes that we took from Hosam, the Healesville chapter of Hosam, don't attempt to run from the past, it's always behind you.
Yes.
I found that always helpful. Don't be afraid of opposition. Remember, a kite rises against, not with, the wind.
Yes, that's right. And Richard, you'll remember the kite activity we did.
What was that called?
Up, up and away.
Up, up and away. And it was up, up and away, that anger that I held on about those correctional officers that, of course, did have me in isolation for many months. I must apologise here and now on the record. I'm sorry for what I did in those isolation tanks.
That's by the by. We have talked about this at great length, and it's fine.
I felt that the salinity was too high in the water that was used, and I have an adverse reaction to salt.
Well, you know, as we discussed, that reaction was more of an emotional reaction than a physical reaction, you know, Richard. And I think you accepting that, that emotional kind of rising up to oppression, it was an important part of your journey.
And it did help that you took me in there for a solitary session.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I do solitaries with everyone, one-on-ones.
Lucas didn't get one, did you?
Look, the thing is, just because a man has an intrinsic fear of breakfast cereals doesn't mean that he has to be outcast. Do you know what I mean? And I felt that this is the problem. I mean, my parents, the last time I saw them, I was eating cornflakes.
Yes, yes. Which is why we, with Lucas in particular, we tailor a program to an individual's needs. We worked with the cereals. Yeah. We worked with the Cocoa Pops. We worked with the Weet-Bix. We added psyllium to your porridge, you know, to see how you'd cope.
Guess what? I had Fruit Loops the other day.
Oh, see, and this is what, you know, this is
progress.
What Hosam does best.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. There was a lot of anger initially. That's the thing. You've said journey, and it didn't end up, you know, where it started. I remember at the beginning you had seven men sitting around in a circle.
Oh, yes.
Very angry men. I remember young Matty Newton was in that circle, and he actually asked to be moved to another group. He said, you people have really got a lot of problems.
I mean, if he had stayed in Hosam, it could have been a very different story.
Sure.
Can I just pick you up on journey?
Yeah, yeah.
I had intimacy problems, as we all know.
Yes, yes.
The initial group hug. was intimidating for me. You suggested some trust games were appropriate.
Yes.
Is it okay that I talk about this?
Absolutely.
We went out into the bush, the forest, whatever you like. Mm-hmm. You said we are going to be blindfolded. Mm-hmm. One would step some metres away.
Yes.
Would walk to one, come to my voice, come to my, trust me.
Come
trust
to my voice, come to my voice.
Moved away further.
Yes.
Walk faster to my voice. By the end of that exercise, people were some 100 metres apart. You said to me, run to my voice, run to my voice. Mm-hmm. I ran. I got a little off track. About 5 minutes later, I found myself in the middle of the bush.
Yes.
I was lost. That. Is that a metaphor? I was there for about 4 or 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Was that your intention to set me apart, to find...
Absolutely, Brendan. Absolutely. Duncan is absolutely fine by himself. Mm. Brendan, on the other hand, struggles with aloneness, hence fancy cats, hence Barbie clothes. Well, you know, we've been through this. Yeah.
I ran, unfortunately, into a picnic bench, tripping and injuring my right elbow.
And the family at the bench.
At the bench, who were having a picnic.
Yes.
I was blindfolded. Unfortunately, I didn't know where I was, disorientated. They became somewhat alarmed. The police coming, was that part of it as well?
Well, that was something that the situation required at the time and taught you, I feel, Brendan, adaptation. Adapt to your situation.
Look, I have to say, when Brendan came back, he'd been isolated in the bush for, I think, 5 or 6 hours.
Correct.
By that time. I was shocked by his appearance. He was completely naked. And during the time out there, he had somehow managed to fashion a tiny Barbie-style safari suit from flax and gum leaves. Now, it was impressive craftsmanship, but psychologically, I'm not sure.
Was that wrong?
Well, it's ingenious. It really was. I'll say you've used your time interestingly.
And pre-Hosm, Brendan wouldn't have been able to fashion that outfit,
I would argue. So in terms of craft, he's one up, isn't he?
Well, that's right. We are a creative foundation. We use creative activities.
It's my go-to, a security blanket.
And I think the Hiriana family, who were picnicking, have accepted your apology since, and their children have moved on from the incident.
Well, can I say we're having a reunion?
Great.
On Thursday night.
Going to play a bit of Whose Hand Is That Anyway?
Correct.
Great.
Well done, Brendan. Well done.
Well, there you go. In the light of something confusing, confronting, and very frightening, we have something that can be celebrated.
Wow.
And I brought in the very outfit that you've...
Oh, goodness.
And can I just...
He's modelling for...
Please don't. Why would you...
Hello. Perhaps.
I'm certainly glad we don't have a webcam on this program.
The style, is it? Cross-stitch? B-dog. Could you just tell?
It's a complicated cross-stitch. They're very small B-dog. Stitches.
Goodness.
That's right. The thing about Hosm is there are no secrets. And prior to Hosm, a lot of you, didn't we, Richard, have... had secrets, had deep, dark, dirty, in some cases, secrets. At Hosm, there are no secrets.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't feel that here is time to discuss those secrets.
Sure.
Yeah, look, I admitted early on that I had done second unit on Dog's Head Bay. I like to get everything out in the open.
Yeah,
early.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's why Duncan excelled in Hosm.
Yes. Well, will you stick around, Estelle, please? We'd love to hear a bit more about the Homosexual Men Foundation. Of course, we'll find out how many more chapters there are outside of Healesville.
Look forward to it.
Right now, it's time to hear from a hot young Australian band named Spectrum. I love songs about the future. That was Spectrum's I'll Be Gone, progressive rock from 1971. Duncan, you've done some film clips with Spectrum.
Look, I don't know if I've done Spectrum, but I certainly did Swing a Boom on the video clip for Mother Goose's Baked Beans, and I think they were in the crowd there. I had no idea why you would employ a boom swinger on a rock video where people are essentially miming. I think it was a union requirement. I don't think I contributed much, but yeah, that was one of my early video clips. Pre-Monty Video and the cassettes, Ship Ship Diddy Wop, Come a Wang Dang.
And good evening to all our union members listening here on ABC Radio National. Absolutely. Saturday evening, March 5th, you're listening to the Lonely Hearts Club, joined by orthopaedic surgeon Dr. Brendan Norris.
Nice to be here.
I think we've learned a lot more about Brendan than we thought we were going to in this instalment, but I guess that's what the club's all about.
And seen more than we probably expected.
And I dare say we're probably going to see a little bit more still.
That voice you recognise, Lucas Dawson, choreographer and well-loved pants man.
Wang Chung tonight. I should explain that I got horribly beaten a couple of weeks ago, which explains the black eyes, because of my original catchphrase.
Oh, right.
Can you use, I'm not allowed to say it.
Oh, okay. I know Terry Wood actually was using it while you were away last week. You know,
ring-a-ding-ding.
Ring-a-ding-ding, okay.
Okay, I'm not meant to say that because my attacker has vowed to return.
Wow.
So, Wang Chung tonight.
That's the new catchphrase for Lucas Dawson.
Yeah.
And, of course, esteemed second unit director Duncan Jardine joins us in the club again.
No, it's great to be here, and I hope I'm not sounding bitter this week. We're going to talk about the Oscars later.
We are.
I was very unhappy with how that all turned out. We'll get to that later.
But first of all, we need to speak to the luminous presence in the corner of the ABC Radio National Studios. It's Estelle Gatenby, who's wearing a beautiful midnight green polo shirt with the initials HOSM. With Healesville underneath it. What does HOSM stand for?
Thank you, Richard. HOSM, Home Osexual Men.
Yes.
Of which you are all graduates, and I'm a very proud group facilitator, let me tell you that much.
Of course, for the first time listener, we all met at the HOSM Foundation, a social and emotional wellbeing program that we attended. I did love that trust exercise that you asked us to complete with the glad wrap and the egg. The issue I had, I guess, with that was I didn't realise that they had to be cooked eggs, boiled eggs.
No, of course. That exercise, it's a well-worn one, that one. Glad to be alive? ?
Yeah.
And, of course, one boils an egg, blindfolded, naked in some cases, depending on the individual, tosses the egg in the air and their partner must catch it with a roll of glad wrap.
Mm. And what was that called?
Glad to be alive? ?
Great. Yeah, glad to be alive. I did think that the 8-hour window to do that was possibly a little too long.
Okay.
The smell of sulphur really sort of started to get to me.
I disagree with you there. I think I found it zen-like.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm with
tantric.
I'm with B-Dog, actually. I found that very, very satisfying.
With
B-Dog. Brendan.
He's a doctor, you know.
Sorry, Dr. B-Dog.
Perhaps we could keep the nicknames here in a professional
sense.
Yeah, we don't want another ring-a-ding-ding incident.
But, I mean, that's obviously the difference. I mean, B. Diddy found it easy to cope with an 8-hour window because he has the ability to lock into a zen-like state.
Could we put a limit on the number of nicknames for me? Let's go for 10.
Right.
Limited at 10.
Absolutely, Brenzen.
Look, I agree with Frank and Norris. You know, many of the things that we were forced to do out there at Healesville, I found slightly mystifying.
Yes.
That thing where you had us all in the room together, completely naked.
Yes.
And then covered in post-it notes. Then each of us, if you remember, guys, was given a dustbuster and were asked to go at each other and see how many post-it notes you could get rid of.
Yeah.
I don't understand the point of that.
What was that one called again?
Float the note.
Float the note, that's float right. Note.
Well done, Lucas. Good memory.
Thank you.
And at the end, I think Dr. Norris was left completely naked, save for something he described as Monte Carlo Barbie. I thought that it was degrading, actually. I still don't understand.
Fulfilling.
Right, really.
I'm going to cut across you there.
Well, Duncan,
absolutely.
You know, I would ask you, why did you find it degrading? What was it in your past that linked you to that feeling of degradation?
Well, I can't recall any incidents with either dustbusters or post-it notes.
Well, you did mention an incident with a cleaner, age 13.
Wow.
Do you remember?
No, look, I don't know how that got onto my Wikipedia page. I don't know where that came from.
Of course, Duncan Jardine being described as the Ricky Nixon of the second unit world when it comes to dating.
The problem is if you type my name into Google, it'll always come up on a page, dating a string of age-inappropriate women. I don't want to go into that. That's been covered off in the confidential pages enough. Yeah. I found that whole incident ludicrous. Here's what I did enjoy. Mm. When you got us all to sit in a circle and simply say, if you could go back, remember this, guys?
Yeah.
If you could go back and change one thing.
Yep.
What would it be? And I know I said if I had to do things over, I probably would have done Series 5 as singers. But no, you said more psychological from the past.
Yes, that's right. Was there a moment in your past where you would like to change something? And as you remember, we reenacted those moments. Yeah, and right. Lucas, you remember your reenactment. We all remember it.
Well,
it made quite a splash.
Yeah, well, I actually started my own little game out of it called simply plucking the rat. Mm. Remember the plucking the rat, where I would pluck the imaginary hairs out of the imaginary rat until you're left with just an imaginary bald rat, which in the end of the day, it's all anyone really needs is just an imaginary bald rat.
To get plucking. Yeah. It's always wonderful to see you mime handling a rodent.
Made a lot more sense than floating the note.
But of course.
What about, Richard, chocolate cupcakes? Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
Well, it's one of the kind of famous things that Hosam is known for, the chocolate cupcake activity. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of baking, singing, dance, and in some cases, depending on your flexibility, gymnastics.
Yeah, the push-ups.
That's right. That's right. We take a whole lot of cupcakes, which are stolen from various stores and stalls around Healesville. We collect the cupcakes all together as a group. We stand around the cupcakes, naked in some cases, depending on your special needs.
Notice that you were always first to go naked, which I applaud you for that because I'm quite comfortable with it.
Yep.
Yes.
I know you guys had a problem with it. Mm. Estelle?
Look, I think as a leader, it's important to lead. You know, this is the home of sexual men, and a lot of the men who join this group have some kind of sexual block. And in order to unblock the block, one needs to unblock one's blocks.
By getting
plural.
Naked.
Plural.
Okay. And stripping oneself of one's blocks, aka clothes, helps you to move on.
The woman from the market who brought the cakes was somewhat disorientated by what she was seeing. Does she bring the cakes every week?
She does bring the cakes every week. She has a few learning difficulties. So
what was her name again?
Juanita.
Juanita.
So for her, this is not as confronting as perhaps it might be for you or I.
Well, I got a little bit dizzy.
Yes, yes. Well, the twirling will do that, balancing the cake on any part of the body that you choose, and we know which part you chose, Brendan. Mm.
Was that wrong?
No, no. For you, it was right. Mm. For Lucas, it would have been wrong, perhaps.
It was wrong. It was frightening. It was only, like, probably 10% arousing.
Yeah.
Mm. But the other 95% was just confusing.
I guess there's a lot of people out there listening who would think that a regime of post-it notes, cake balancing and imaginary rodents might be pointless and idiotic.
True. I would say to those people, look at you now.
Yeah.
I mean, class of 2010, Hosam is running their own radio show.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, if that's not an achievement.
Well, I'm using trust games before surgery. I will take the patient, we'll stand around in a circle, and we'll say, fall into our arms.
Yes. Mm.
And then they fall, and we catch. And the level of trust goes incredibly
high. Sky high. Richard is using cupcakes on a daily basis now. Mm.
Yeah, it's something that I like to hide under my pillows at night.
Yeah.
Mm. Always great to wake up covered in filth.
Yeah, I actually plucked the rat twice this morning.
Well done.
Thanks.
Well done, Lucas.
I've been down to Office Works 3 times this week.
Mm. Okay. So proof is in the pudding.
You've actually left a pink
post-it note. Still on her shoulder, sorry. Yeah.
Estelle, thank you so much for
coming. My pleasure. And may I say again, congratulations to my graduates, of whom I am very proud.
The homosexual men motto is?
Action through action. Don't forget it, guys. Don't forget it.
That's certainly an incredible motto. Of course, for those Latin lovers out there, the translation of that is action, actionem. Wonderful. Right now, it's time for us to think about all those other men who are out there alone this Mardi Gras weekend. Sans hair, sans clothes, sans socks, and sans beards. Unless, of course, they're bears. And if you're listening, rawr! Dreams are formed, hopes are realised. As we are young men, the world's our oyster, and like the warm glow of a candle, love flickers bright. Sometimes in our lives, those dreams are shattered and our hopes fade. The oyster is contaminated by a huge oil spill. And like a candle, the flame of love flickers out and goes cold. It's time for us to walk over to our window in the lounge room, look out as the rain beats down on the glass pane, and watch the world go by without a care for us, a second thought, people having a good time, people whose dreams do come true, people who are successful, who are happy, healthy, and content. It's important to reflect on what might have been had we done something with our lives. It's time for me time. The debut single of the British synth pop group Bronski Beat. It was released in June 1984, just in time for the end of the financial year. And boy, did they claim on the LP pressing of their album, The Age of Consent. It reached number 3 in the UK and 7 in Australia. And I wonder if they'll get played this weekend, tomorrow night, at the Mardi Gras in Sydney. Lucas, of course, you've choreographed something very special for the after party. What is it?
I have indeed. It's Danny Minogue and Chris Smith are recreating the famous scene from Xanadu where the guy plays the girl like a guitar.
Wow. Can't wait to see that strumming.
But I'm actually not going to Mardi Gras this year.
Oh.
As you know, I woke up last Mardi Gras on the Tuesday after with only one shoe, and it was... 3 sizes too small. Now, whether I grew in that time, I don't know. I can't be sure. I didn't measure myself, but I think I have to have a year off.
Well, if you are listening and are attending this weekend here from the Lonely Hearts Club, happy Mardi Gras. Coming up in our second hour, we'll be speaking to AFI award-winning actor Adam Zwar with a Z. And, of course, there'll be some pillow talk with Mathilde helping to spice things up in the bedroom. Right now, it's time to hear from you, the Lonely Hearts Club listener, with our feedback segment. Lucas, I understand you've got an email.
Absolutely. I have an email here from Cheryl Reed. It's quite a positive one, which is
strange.
Quite a change for us. I'm listening to your refreshing brand of sanity via internet from the northern shores of the distant tropical island of Borneo.
Wow.
So we've gone international here.
Yeah, great. Right.
As a teacher, I heartily agree with your concerns about names. We were mentioning a few weeks ago about how what someone's called, how hot they become. All teachers in Australia have encountered students handicapped by names foisted on them by inconsiderate parents. Right. Sometimes it's the spelling, example, Jane.
How's that spelled?
Z-H-A-N-E, pronounced Jane.
Oh,
and your example, L-A, Ladasha.
Yeah.
Or the combination of the otherwise ordinary first and family names. Example, Christian Church. Don't understand what she means. I once had Taylor, L-A-H, Taylor, L-O-R, and Taylor, T-A-I-L-A, all in one class.
Right.
Wow. Well, it proves that people do listen to this show.
Absolutely.
And if you are listening in Borneo, we hope you get back to Australia soon.
Well, we've had mixed feedback, let's just say, Richard, because Nick Henry, who wrote to us last week, has written in again. He simply repeats his original comment, abysmal dross. On the other side of the coin, Matthew in Perth says, hey guys, love your show. Lonely Hearts Club has become the billabong where I slake my thirst and rest my dusty feet after trudging through the desert of a typical Saturday night. I think that's positive.
He's gone through the thesaurus for that.
It's an interesting concept, isn't it, getting direct feedback from your customers. I have to ask Dr. Brendan down at the clinic where you perform a Norris on a customer. Are you one of these people who, like a mechanic, will call up, you know, with a questionnaire? How did you feel the service went? Were you happy? Would you recommend me to your friends? I get a lot of calls like that now.
I get them to fill out a questionnaire in recovery. It's fairly simple, but it's tick the appropriate box. They don't have to work too hard.
Are they still under the effects of the anaesthetic at that point? I mean, I would have thought you'd have to give it a 48 hours before you could get an accurate assessment.
I think it's unfair to say that that is blurring their judgment. I think whether you're under anaesthetic or not, your feelings are the same. And I will go to court and say that that is an appropriate procedure.
Has each question got multiple boxes?
happens.
It does, but okay. The questionnaire is actually printed out on litmus paper, so the drool from the patient falls near the question, and depending on the acidity levels of their saliva will determine the appropriate response and anaesthetic for the next procedure.
I've been handed an email here from Tony.
Yep.
He's a psychic from Northcote.
A sidekick?
A psychic.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a big blank section on the email. I'm assuming that he's sending that to us psychically.
Right. Oh, right. So we're receiving it.
That would be his comment. Are you picking anything up?
I'm getting something that's double-spaced and uppercase.
And he finishes off with, keep up the good work. So I would say it was probably positive.
That's positive.
Tony spelt with two E's.
Oh, there you go. You see, it's rife, isn't it?
It's everywhere. And, of course, it's a wonderful week for films this week with the Academy Awards taking place, and Radio National's very own entertainment reporter was there at Kodak Theatre reporting for the Lonely Hearts Club. It's time to hear all the latest and greatest in film and entertainment news as we cross live to Hollywood, California.
Live and direct from Hollywood, Los Angeles, with all the latest entertainment movie news and blues, it's Hollywood Nights with Sir Nigel.
Yes, he's on the line now. Hello, Sir Nigel. The 83rd Academy Awards were held earlier this week, and it was a huge night for British-Australian dual citizens, with Australians taking home five Oscars between them. You were there with Derek Jacobi and Peter Cushing. How was the night? Were there many surprises?
Hello, darlings. So many surprises. What a night. What a marvellous evening. Of course, everything is a surprise, isn't it? Surprise, of course, the key to any great performance. None more so than the feigned surprise I perfected when a couple of bobbies showed up to a certain Piccadilly Circus flat in my youth, wanting to know if somebody was being strangled. The neighbours had complained. I hadn't the heart to tell them that Vanessa Redgrave was being rogered in the next room. My flatmate, the one responsible. I won't mention any names to protect the innocent, as it were, but if you caught the 1974 production of the Aspen Papers at the Duchess, you'll know of whom I speak.
If it's Hollywood, it's Heelfight!
Well, that's the Oscars. I think it's all
he's done it
there.
Again. He's actually done it again.
He's on the money, isn't he?
So Nigel, always up with the latest, and we'll be hearing from him again next week, no doubt, with some more inside gossip from Hollywood. Ooh. It's well after dark, and I've got a thirst. A thirst that can only be quenched with a bawdy romp in the gutters of love and some hard drinking music telling it like it is. Pa. Mm. What an incredible tune that is from the 1968 film Oliver, the film adaptation of the book by Charles Dickens.
You know, I choreographed a version of Oliver. It wasn't actually Oliver. We couldn't afford the rights. We dropped three songs and we called it Tales from Dickensian London.
Wow. Mm. And you managed to get away with that?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I tried to get Fagin to pull off a rapscallion, and it ended badly.
Yeah, I don't think Ridge Livermore was up to that these days.
More, please, I'd say.
But Henry Zepp stood in and absolutely nailed it.
He's not a dentist.
He's not a dentist. Wow. We are the Lonely Hearts Club here on ABC Radio National. Our Lonely Hearts hotline is 1-300-653-891. And our Twitter page is at Lone Heart Club. The second half of the show, we'll be joined by AFI award-winning actor and pants man Adam Zwar, spelled with a Z.
He's a renowned pants man?
Allegedly, he's a male actor who's won awards, okay. So presumably he's been places we haven't.
Okay.
Speaking of pants men, there's three voices that you may hear and recognise joining me here tonight in the Lonely Hearts Club. We are, of course, joined by orthopaedic surgeon Dr. B-Train Brendan Norris. Brendan.
Nice to be here. That's eight. That is eight.
Eight.
We're getting close to the limit.
Settle down, Brains.
Lucas Dawson, choreographer and Fraser Island tourist.
Wang Chung tonight. Is it sounding all right?
Not working.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to catch on. I mean, if you got beaten up for ring-a-ding-ding, I mean, who knows what will happen with this one?
Preferably knees this time. And possibly the most professional of professionals, esteemed second unit director, Duncan Jardine.
Yeah, thanks very much, Richard. And we did have a bit of Oscar talk there with Higglethwaite. But I think when Mr. Zwar comes in, maybe we can open that whole can of worms because there's a lot of unfinished business there.
I wonder if he could talk to us perhaps about some films, some date films. I wanted to just put it over to the group and actually have a chat to you guys as to what some of the best first date films are. I know, of course, in the past I've taken women to see Roman Holiday, It's a Wonderful Life, To Kill a Mockingbird, When Harry Met Sally.
Failure to Launch.
Teen Wolf 2, TOO. My first date was to Teen Wolf TOO and made the mistake of going to that one because had no idea that Bateman was replacing Jay Fox.
Yeah, right.
Jason Bateman.
Jay Bateman. Jay Fox.
From the TV show Valerie.
Absolutely. And Valerie's family. Wow. Member thereof.
Is there a film, Dr. Norris, that you like to take first dates on?
Well, I saw Pretty Woman at a drive-in back many years ago. I went by myself, hoping to meet a woman. Unfortunately, I approached a woman on the way to the toilet. I didn't realise that she was with someone in the car.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We chatted for a moment. I ran into the husband. We got into a physical situation.
Oh, okay.
Fisticuffs. Mm-hmm.
I was struck by a blow.
I know what that's about.
I ran off.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know about you, but running through a drive-in at full tilt, every 20 or so metres, there's a little rise.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So you're seeing double.
Yep.
You're tripping over the wires that are leading into the cars. And you're going up and down little hills.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best way to meet a girl. The film itself, terrific.
Yeah.
The event, not so.
I would have gone home and plucked a rat.
Pretty Woman's always one of my favourites. I do like Leaving Las Vegas and many other films, such as Monsters Ball, that feature prostitutes. It's always something that really gets the topic on the table early on. Hopefully by the time the credits roll, we're discussing the transaction. Hopefully that will be occurring later that evening.
Up front.
Well, that's the best way to be when you're paying $138 an hour for their company. We'll be speaking to Adam Zwar, perhaps, about his first date after the break. AFI Award winning actor. But before we do, it's time to spice things up in the bedroom. It's time to hear from Matilde with this week's edition of Pillow Talk. Sautez bonheur. Joie dans le cœur. It's Pillow Talk with Mathilde.
C'est trop cher. C'est trop cher. That's too expensive.
It's Pillow Talk with Mathilde.
I have to say, Dr. Brendan is looking slightly confused.
Yeah. Is that the intent?
That's meant to help people who've lost some spark in the bedroom to perhaps incorporate the language of love, being French.
Mm.
Of course, Mathilde, no one does it better than Mathilde Fetter. It's her surname.
Really?
F-E-T-T-A. Named, of course.
Is she beautiful? She sounds beautiful.
I'll have to introduce you next time she's in town. She's currently in an emirate.
Which of the emirates?
Not actually sure. I've been emailing her and she hasn't written back, but I believe she's with someone who has a royal title. Let's leave it at that.
Wow.
Wonderful. She gets around, Matilde Fetter.
Dave Jester.
Was he the lead singer of Screaming Jets?
No, the bass player with the tin lids.
Wow. Right now, it's a song by an ancient minor supercontinent for all the fans of Doug Spencer. World music from Gabrielle Suzanne Koerner. It's her birthday in a few weeks' time, a.k.a. Nena. From 1984, with 99 Luft Balloons. Song about 96 red balloons, I believe, given my school German. Pretty sure 99 in Germany equals 96 in English.
Have we researched that, or are we?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Chess. All the gentlemen here on Lonely Hearts Club have sat up straight, their chests are puffed, their hair has been combed, and they're flexing their biceps because we have an AFI award-winning actor in the club this evening. He's from Queensland originally, and he has travelled down the East Coast, transforming the entertainment landscape as he's gone. He has created, directed, written, starred, and pretty much done all of the female actors in the Australian film industry. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the club, Mr. Adam Zwar.
You're too kind, Richard.
Thank you so much for joining us here this evening. You actually grew up in Cairns in Queensland, didn't you?
My parents bought the house off Leo McKern.
Rumpole of the Bailey.
Really?
In 1971. Yeah, he was living in Cairns before Blue Lagoon. Because he left the industry altogether and at that stage. And my dad was doing a story for the Times in London, and a real estate agent was showing him around Cairns. And he said, I just want to show you this one place. He was kind of like a tour guide for Dad. And he said, I want to show you this house on top of a hill. Leo McKern walked out. And Dad said, I love your house. And Leo McKern said, do you want to buy it? And Mum and Dad said yes.
Wow. God, yeah. This should be pre-Rumpole, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was pre-Rumpole.
But post-Help, the mad bloke chasing the ring.
I don't want to upset you, but that is a scam, which I was nearly taken by throughout Queensland. Scammy. There are a lot of Leo McKern impersonators who are real estate agents.
Regularly.
Who prey on people like your good self and your father. There's a couple of them. Duncan, there's a Liam McKern look like, there's a Paul Hogan one.
There's a bloke passing himself off as Shane Porteous. I don't know what he hopes
to
achieve.
There's a Strop from the Hogan Show.
Yeah, Paul, a lot of Strops around. Yeah.
And of course, there's Clive James, who's been terrorising Alice Springs real estate.
It's not fair people walk in thinking, I'm buying a house owned by this. They're impersonators. Beware.
There's a lot of fake ugly Daves on the Gold Coast.
Mm. So I told you guys about when my dad bought the shoes from the op shop. They reckon they were Orson Welles. They belonged to Orson Welles.
And were they?
Probably not.
Mm.
But I don't think Orson Welles has been to Rosebud.
I'm pretty sure he's got a weatherboard down there. He's suffering a bit of asbestos contamination, which if you read the local rag, he's been a great exponent for keeping the highway.
Hang on. So I'm sorry, Lucas, are you implying that at the end of Citizen Kane, when he says Rosebud, he's referring to the caravan park?
Absolutely. Maybe the op shop.
That is what Charles Foster Kane, memory that sustained him through his career as a newspaper man, was the hope of returning to his childhood favourite destination of Rosebud Caravan Park. I didn't even realise that interpretation.
It was not a sleigh. It was a caravan park.
Wow.
Can I just do a quick check while I'm here? I don't think Adam would mind me saying that he is a patient of mine. Wow. How are the knees? How are the ankles? Adam had
a doctor-patient confidentiality.
Well, he's
he was the first to have a quad Norris.
Quad Norris?
Wow. Adam, do you mind if I take them through what we did here?
Please.
Yeah.
Where we replaced both knees and both ankles in the one operation. Adam, he's a rodeo. How do you say it? Rodeo?
Rodeo.
Rodeo. He had a nasty fall.
I was on the cool.
Yeah. Fell on him, damaging both ankles, both knees. I replaced both knees, both ankles, with joints from a goat.
Wow.
I don't know about you, but if you go into a butcher shop and you stand there and you look at the meat, think, to yourself, next time you're in there, if you get all the right cuts of meat, you can actually put a cow back together. Think about that.
Wow.
If you like Sudoku, here's something you can do in your head next time you're on public transport. Anyway, pop your knee up on the bench and we'll just have a quick look.
Goodness me, look at that.
No scars and extend. At all.
That's what the quad Norris looks like.
Yeah, now throw it over your right shoulder.
Oh, my goodness.
Hang on, that's the rapscallion.
And touch your toes.
I don't think that's legal.
This might hurt a little bit. And how does that feel?
Good.
And this.
Uncomfortable.
Okay. You're doing fine.
Wow. And can anyone book in for a quad Norris?
If you just want a sign just there, just for the...
Where do you find a butcher that's going to sell goat's knees?
Well, of course, in Tennant Creek. For our Northern Territory listeners, seen of where Adams Waugh fell off the Australasian Buck and Bull of the Year chainsaw. If you're listening, chainsaw, keep up the good work. We do love it when you come out of shoot three. Adam, you were a showbiz journalist for many years and a columnist for a major metropolitan newspaper. What were some of the things you had to write about?
I got to the stage where I pretty much interviewed everyone five or six times over the course of about 8 years, you know. I interviewed Brian Brown seven times. I interviewed Jeffrey Rush probably about five times. It became a bit samey after a while.
You're just dropping names now? I mean, is that...
No, well, that was, you could call it dropping names, but that was my life.
That was his work.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't,
I mean, I couldn't say it in any other way.
Okay.
But I went to interviewed ACDC in Stuttgart. That was good. That was a highlight.
See, he's now using code, not dropping real names.
No, he's dropped five names in one band.
He's just said ACDC, as they do in court. He's revealing nothing.
Right. Billy Idol threw my tape recorder out the window once. That was interesting.
I'm going to write this down. I'm going to actually keep a score here.
I'll do no more than 10.
Well, we're up to nine already.
What was the moment that prompted Billy Idol to throw your tape recorder out the window?
I think I asked him about the average age of the female audience.
Oh, right.
I thought we were kind of getting on all right. Mm. And he took offence to that because he thought I was insinuating that it was some sort of throwback act.
Right.
And out the tape recorder went.
Yeah.
It was at the Como. So it was
Perry Como?
What did you say that 10. Prompted him to...
I just said, what's the average age of your... of your audience. And he said, yeah, there's some pretty hot girls at the tape recorder went, and he goes, there's a lot of hot girls that go to my shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you insinuating? They're all old.
And yes, the man who sang Hot Child in the City, which is a very, I would say, a dubious sentiment for a piece of music.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So that was interesting.
What do you say to Brian Brown on the fifth interview?
Why did you do that film?
Yeah, right. Maybe bring up Blame It on the Bellboy.
You mentioned Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah.
He was at the Academy Awards during the week.
Yeah, right.
Do you start rooting for these people that you interview? Like, do you become friends with them as the journo?
No. In fact, you probably shouldn't. You know, there's that thing of you should never meet your heroes, and there's many cases where you meet people that you've admired for many years and you interview them, and say they're rude to you or offhand or something like that. You go, oh. Or they just don't like you.
Or they're not actually Leo McKern.
Or they're not actually Leo McKern.
Wow.
You do feel a little bit hollow the next time you see their work.
Mm.
You go, well, it's taken the joy out of seeing their work.
You've written for Jeffrey Rush, though, haven't you?
A few years in a row, he was the host of the AFI Awards, and I wrote jokes for him, what could be called jokes for him for the AFIs. Yeah, I did that for 6 years.
You also wrote Lowdown, created and wrote... Which is a wonderful television program, a series.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, Lucas, well, you probably didn't need to tell Adam that.
I was telling you.
I understand that the Lowdown has been sold to the BBC.
Yeah, we're very happy about that.
Now, is this the production that you made, or will it be refilmed with, say, Windsor Davies and Donald Sinden, Patrick Cargill?
No, it's the one that we shot.
Right.
Okay. Amanda Brucci directed and co-wrote with me.
Your wife?
Yeah, there's a long list of husband and wives that have worked creatively in this country.
Okay, sure.
Rachel Ward and Brian Brown.
Yeah.
Warwick and Joanne Capper.
And
Doctor and Bryn Edelston.
And, of course, John Michael Howson and Roland Rokitic.
Rokicelli.
Adam, I wanted to ask you about your AFI award-winning performance. Duncan asked me what you won the award for. I said that it was for Wilfred.
You're right.
And what was the category?
It was a best performance in a comedy or something like that.
For Wilfred?
For Wilfred, yeah.
Wilfred has been sold to America.
But that's, yeah, that's a formatted arrangement.
And you've got Charlie Sheen in the dog costume. Is that what I've heard? Have I got wise cross
I reckon he'd be great.
Did I hear that Elijah Wood is playing the role of Adam Zwar?
Yeah.
Does he have to say Zwar-esque words, or do they, they rewrite the scripts?
I saw the pilot and there was a lot of jokes there that was handpicked from various shows. You know, they jammed the pilot full of the best stuff.
Do they pick on his pointy ears?
Not in the pilot. There's a kind of a good area to go.
I was writing it, I'd pick on his pointy ears. His ears look ridiculous in The Lord of the Rings. Have you seen his ears?
Yeah, I have. I don't know if they're like that in real life.
Was that a strange experience to see?
Yeah.
Your piece transposed? And does a joke always live strong, no matter how you do it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a lot about the moment and the way it's directed. And I think directing is very important with comedy and television comedy. And I thought the script was really good with the pilot, but I thought it was very bright and breezy and very LA. Maybe I'm too close to it to appreciate it as much. But so I wasn't laughing hilariously.
Is the dog saying a lot of America? Is he saying, you go, girl, and you do the math, and a lot of Americanisms?
Yeah, he's Australian. The dog is Australian, so he's like...
Oh, in the show.
In the show, in America.
Right, yeah. Okay.
But he's more intelligent now. Mm. Oh, maybe he's got more intelligent writers.
Does he, still use smoking paraphernalia, shall we say?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Foul mouth still?
Not as foul mouth. Oh, really? Because there's a massive... They take that a lot more seriously than we do. Okay.
The gentleman who played the dog.
Yes.
In Australia.
Jason Gann. Yeah, he's in it. He's the dog.
Oh, he is the dog. Yeah, oh, I apologise. Yeah. Your part is being played.
Elijah Wood. Right.
Does that mean that you'll be playing his part in The Hobbit?
There should have been some deal struck. No, I've just been left out.
Seems to me like you got the rough end of the stick there.
Or the good end where I just get paid and don't do anything.
Oh, okay. Right.
Well, Ricky Gervais style.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's good. All care and no responsibility. Well, and some cash.
I'm looking forward to the episodes devoted to Wilfred's time in quarantine. Going over to America, shot in real time. So should get to the first Elijah Wood ep after 13 months. You've also won an AFI Award for Best Screenplay. You've been in Neighbours, Underbelly, Valentine's Day, privately tuned Rush, Blue Heelers. I remember you in MDA. I tuned in thinking it was MDMA. A little disappointed. It was a bit slower than what I was expecting. However... Adam, we're talking about first dates, and we're curious, as someone who's clearly successful with ladies, do you remember the first film you saw on a date, where it was and what it was?
It was Hoyt's Cinema in Brisbane, Dirty Dancing.
Wow, yeah. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
No, I don't know. It was the only date me and that girl went on. I do subscribe to the Quentin Tarantino thing where you show a girl a film, the girl you're interested in a film, and if she likes it, then there's a future for you. If she doesn't like it, there's no future. So in his case, he shows Rio Bravo, and if she doesn't like it, then there's no future for the relationship.
Wow,
that's pretty good. I did that with Spinal Tap. Uh-huh. Early 90s, I showed this girl I was going out with Spinal Tap, and at that stage, I think I knew it off by heart. And
did you quote the whole way through it?
No, I sat silently and watched her, but she just didn't get into it.
Okay.
And then afterwards, she there was a bit of an argument about why she didn't like it. And she tried to throw it off by saying that I'd spoiled it for her by saying some of the jokes prior to her watching it. But I don't think that...
How long did that relationship last?
Only a few more weeks.
Right. So yeah, the writing was on the wall.
Absolutely. Really. Yeah. I think you've got to take those things seriously.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, we might get some of our Lonely Hearts Club members on the line, if you don't mind, to have a chat to them about their first film dates, and perhaps you could maybe give them some advice or pass judgment on the success or lack of in their romantic life. That's all after we hear from the greatest human alive, Mr. Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney, he's so dangerous.
Yeah, who can forget the clip for that one where he's playing all the parts?
10 roles, in fact, Duncan.
Wow, wow.
And forgive me if I bring this up, Duncan, but Duncan Jardine shot the close-ups of the drumsticks drums.
Second unit. A lot of people like to say that I was the first person to shoot a drumstick hitting a snare with water flying
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
They would be right.
Yeah, that's true. But
they would be right, of course. Duncan Jardine responsible for that wonderful Big Pig film clip.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which
aprons.
Lots of metalwork aprons.
More aprons, I keep saying.
Welcome back to the Lonely Hearts Club here on ABC Radio National. We're going around Australia live and to the point. You can follow us on Twitter at Lone Heart Club. And, of course, the podcast of tonight's episode, Ep 4 of 8, will be available for download from our website, which you can find at abc.net.au/rn, The Lonely Hearts Club. We're joined by a man who's won many awards, mostly for being excellent at many things. We are, of course, talking about Adam Zwar, who's joined Duncan Jardine, Lucas Dawson, Dr. Norris, and myself, Richard Silk, in the Lonely Hearts Club to talk about best first date films. Before we get to that, though, Adam, you wrote a column called The Wise Guy.
Mm.
The Wise Guy, just talk us through that. That was, you were extolling advice on pretty much what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah. For many years, I wrote this column and it was about a guy's Sex in the City in a way, a single man's Sex in the City. But what they didn't know, as soon as I got the column, that's when I met my wife. So I had to live on sense recall for that rest of the time. I was kind of seeking out whether I was the only person who experienced rejection and the tough times in love. Because I actually genuinely thought I was the only person who was rejected by women. I didn't, because men didn't talk about their war stories, their sad stories, because especially where I came from, it was all bravado. So I thought I was the only person who had ever experienced any failure when it came to women. So this was
welcome to the club, literally.
I'm so happy to be here.
No Sex in the City.
No Sex in the City. Better title.
It was a wonderful manhood forum, and my favourite column was the one you wrote about having seen the feature film A Bronx Tale, in which Chaz Palminteri, who wrote the film and starred in it, directed by Bobbitt De Niro, gives advice on how to spot a selfish woman. Do you remember that column?
Yeah, I do. Basically, he says, if you open the door for the woman and then you close it and you walk around the back of the car, watch to see if she leans over to unlock the driver's side door. If she does, she's a caring person and possibly a keeper. If she doesn't, then you have no more contact with that woman.
Of course, falls down if you have central blocking.
Yeah.
I mean, if she has no hands.
I mean, it's a good metaphor for many other things.
Yeah, I seemed to follow that to a T until I realised the error I'd been making was I was opening the boot. And asking them to get into the boot.
Right.
And waiting for them to open it on the inside.
I'm one of my nurses, and during an operation, as we were finishing off the stitching, I did the first knot, hoping she would put her finger on the knot so I could do a double knot.
And where was she?
She didn't.
Wow.
Well, she missed out. Well, Keith, another male nurse, did it, which... Well.
And he's been duly promoted within the clinic. Of course, Dr. Brendan Norris, the inventor and proud exponent of the Quad Norris and the Norris procedure. And Adam Zwar is one who's benefited from the Quad Norris, not even using a chair at the moment.
He doesn't look comfortable, I will say.
Let me show you something. Watch what happens when I get him down on all fours.
Oh,
hang on.
Adam, do you...
I'm just going to do this.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Wish we had a webcam now.
Why would you...
I'm giving him my full weight.
Wow. That can't be healthy.
Where is your Achilles?
I don't have an Achilles. It's
That is your Achilles heel, though, isn't it?
I've had it framed. It's on my office wall.
Wow, the Quad Norris.
Quad Norris and nothing. The Manhood Forums. That's what the Lonely Hearts Club has been referred to. Adam, did you ever have to refer any of your readers to a film that may help them on a date, a first date?
Bronx Tale was obviously good. With Nell and I is pretty good because no women in it at all. So, you know, if you just need a break.
I'm not sure that film will lead to sex after the date. However, in Lucas's instance...
It has numerous times.
It might. Uncle Monty.
Right on the scene where they find the matter in the sink.
is usually a bit of an aphrodisiac moment. For me, anyway.
Adam, do you mind? We have some patient Lonely Hearts members on the hotline, keen to help prospective daters and datees out there with their suggestions of appropriate films to potentially see on a first date. We're going to traverse all the way up to Brisbane in Queensland, your old home state, and hear from Joan. Joan, talk us through your film suggestion.
Well, the first film we saw was a Margaret Rutherford film, which was the Miss Marple, Agatha Christie-style film. And there was a mad scene in it where an Australian was meeting an Englishman. Well, my husband started to laugh so much that he had to leave the theatre. Then I started to laugh, thinking, oh, what's happened? So he arrived back, and every time he went to sit down, he'd start laughing again. So we've been laughing ever since. But it just seemed so ridiculous. It was a silly scene, and the whole of the theatre started to laugh at nothing. So that was a very good start.
So you've had a big fat laugh at Murder Most Foul.
It was just ridiculous. We still can't remember what it was.
Was it somebody, because I know Bud Tingwell was in those films, but I think he was playing an English character.
It probably was him, and it just was a silly scene with Miss Marple, and the ridiculous just took over.
Well, Bud Tingwell was always the one going, oh, Miss Marple, leave the crime solving to the professionals.
Exactly, something like that. But we could not stop laughing, and every time he stood up and came back, it was just like being school kids. We just couldn't stop laughing.
And where did he go when he left the theatre?
He just used to stand outside to stop laughing, and then would come back again thinking, I've composed myself.
And Joan, do you still have a laugh at what was the last film you saw where you really piss yourselves?
Schindler's List, I believe, was the last great movie laugh.
Oh, cool, surely not.
Look, we just seem to laugh at anything that's so stupid. And he says, that's not funny. And I said, well, it is. So the ridiculous takes over.
They say that laugh and the world laughs with you. You cry and you wet your face.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Joan. I look forward to your review of African Queen.
There you go. So if people are looking for a first date movie, maybe they could rent Murder Most Foul.
Yes, and all the Agatha Christie fans out there. Thanks, Joan. Back down to Melbourne. Max, I know there's a film that you like to turn to on first dates. What is it, Max?
Yes, gentlemen. Well, I'm a big proponent of the theory of scaring them into your arms, if you will.
Wow. So what are you thinking, maybe like When Harry Met Sally?
I was thinking more on along the lines of Deliverance, actually.
Whoa.
Ronnie Cox.
Inbreeding and murder.
Just talk us through the plot line of Deliverance.
Well, there's a lot going on, really, if you watch it closely. But what I like most about it is the fact that, by comparison, you look fantastic because you can ask them to squeal like a tiki a little bit later and you're not nearly as scary as some sort of hillbilly.
Wow. Wow.
I think you're close.
Yeah, look, of course, Deliverance, a film starring Burt Reynolds, Ronnie Cox,
John Voight,
and
Ned Beatty, doing the squealing.
It's a story, I guess, about malehood.
It's a bit like this show. It's four men on their own.
A little comment about gentrification in the rural parts of America. Adam Zwar, what do you think about Deliverance as a first date film?
I like the second half of that theory where you actually look good in comparison to the characters. I think that's not a bad idea. Yeah. That's why you should probably stay away from George Clooney films. You know, you're never going to look any good. So, Mask.
Yeah, Mask would be one.
Mask is a great one. Yeah. Was his name Rocky?
Yeah. Played by
Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz. Yes.
Perhaps the man in the Iron Mask.
Freaks, maybe.
Something like Freaks. The Elephant Man help close it
either out. Either way, try and choose a film where the protagonist is uglier than you. Right. And less charming than you.
Right.
Yeah. Be careful with the Elephant Man because he was freakish in appearance, but as we all know, perfectly formed genitals.
Thanks, Max. Georgie in Adelaide. How's things over in South Australia?
Things are going well over here. My movie's a little lighter than the previous two.
Does it involve prostitutes?
No.
Okay, well, hit us with it. What is it?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
The feature
Angelina
film.
Angelina Jolie.
Where she stole Brad from Jen.
That's it. That's the subplot to the whole movie, isn't it?
What happens in Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
they're spies. They're married couple that do not know that each other is a spy. And then they get given the job to assassinate one another, not knowing that that's the person that they're due to kill.
Romantic stuff. Adam, what do you think? Women and guns, does that do it for you?
Yeah, oh, of course. But I think Michael Caine put it best when he said that if a leading man falls in love with his leading lady, the leading lady's performance grows and the leading man looks completely powerless on screen. And so his advice is never to actually fall in love with your leading lady. Oh, so,
wow. Is that on screen or off screen?
No, if you fall in love off screen with your leading lady, your right. performance will suffer, oh, according to right. Sir Michael Caine.
Wow.
So don't do it.
George, has this been a successful first aid film for you?
It was a successful first date movie. There was something for him to watch, something for me to watch.
Do you get jealous at all if he's got something to watch?
No way.
Wow.
Happy days for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Georgie, that's exactly how I felt when I saw Leaving Las Vegas, Casino, Trading Places.
Half Moon Street.
Jodie Foster in Taxi Driver as a young one. Rosario Dawson and Alexis.
All prostitutes.
Liddell, yeah, all prostitutes. Okay. Charlize Theron in Monsters Ball. It was Mira Savino in Mighty Aphrodite.
But Sigourney Weaver in Half Moon Street, you haven't mentioned that.
I'm not a fan of her work ever since she was in All the Rivers Run.
Right.
Thanks so much, Georgia.
You're welcome.
Keep an eye out for all your recommendations on your blog page, Mr. and Mrs. Smith fan3.com. Adam Zwar, just in closing, you're on Twitter. Can we seek your advice via Twitter? Is there a way that we can do that?
Just ask.
At symbol Adam Zwar.
That's it.
It's your page. There's a production you're involved in that we can't talk about, all very secret, that we see you gathering with ABC execs outside. We'll let you get back out to chat with them. But where can we see you next? Is Lowdown being screened on iView repeatedly?
Yeah, it's on ABC 2 at the moment, on Thursday night, 9 o'clock. There's two more episodes to go, and hopefully we're doing another one.
The unusual scuttlebutt I've heard is that you've had the green light for the third series, but there has been no support coming forth for the second series. I don't know how that's going to play out.
Are you available to do second unit?
I'll do any shots of a cup going down on a coaster. Oh, I'm happy to do that.
What about that stuff you did for Wilfred with the poo shots? Famously.
Look, I've done a lot of poo shots generally. And paws, anything with paws. Bob Morrison, the hand of the dog just pushing open the door, anything like that.
Wilfred was all poo and paws, wasn't it?
Yeah. A lot of poo and paws. We had Duncan in a lot. A lot of people don't know that the poo is actually made out of coffee, flour and muesli. I just thought I'd better tell that to Wilfred fans.
Who do you charge with that exploration of discovering that?
The art director concocted that.
Elijah Wood's doing it on the American version.
Wow.
Yeah, that's part of his contract.
Thank you very much. Dual AFI award winner, Adam Zwar?
Yes.
Is Zwar a stage name?
No.
Sounds made up.
Really?
I happen to know something about Adam Zwar, spelt with a Z.
Yeah.
His family was involved with Orangina.
It's not actually direct family. My parents were guardians to these two girls, and one of them married the guy who invented Orangina, the French soft drink.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a long connection, but yeah, I still enjoy it.
Making the claim at the deathbed. Thanks so much, Adam Zwar.
Thanks, Adam.
Always great to see you, and all the best in all your pursuits, be they marital or extramarital. Right now, it's time to hear from a Berlin-based multilingual band, Stereo Total. Wow. From 1995 album Ooh Ah, that was Stereo Total, of course. Francois Cactus and Prezzo Goring. Wonderful, wonderful band. Lucas Dawson, Dr. Norris and Duncan Jardine, it's that time of night. Approaching the midnight hour, we must bid one another adieu for another week. We must thank our guests, the wonderful Estelle Gatenby from Hosm, the Healesville chapter, AFI award winner Adam Zwar, and of course you, the Lonely Hearts Club listener. The podcast is available to download immediately after this show at 12:01 from our website. And please give us a tweet. We'd love to hear from you at Lone Heart Club. Lucas, what's happening for you in the world of Dawson this week?
Wang Chung tonight. I am going to be dancing like nobody's watching.
Wow.
Although, let's be honest, most people
will be.
Probably will be.
What sort of music do you put on if you're doing that?
It's all in my head.
Oh, okay. Mm. Imaginary music.
Yeah.
Are there tickets available for that?
Well, there's only one ticket.
That's in your head as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, get on down to the Alice Springs Community Rec Hall Wednesday night to see Lucas dancing at any stage. Is it 4 p.m. Central Standard Time?
We're 4 to late.
4 to late.
A-E-D-S-T. Great.
Look forward to hearing about it. Dr. Norris, B-Train, Bogart, Nassie, Danny, Brenny.
Bongo.
Knackers.
Knackers and Noz. You're probably in the clinic surgery all week.
I am on call.
On call?
I'm on call this weekend. I'll do my rounds tomorrow morning. And then I ran into one of my patients. This is extraordinary. It's funny that we should have an emailer saying that she was psychic. Wow. Because my patient is psychic. A shoe psychic?
Wow. How does shoe psychic
You send in your shoes and then she'll do a reading from them. Now...
Does that work?
I'm a skeptic, but she said something to me which scared me. She said, "Doctor, you recently bought some inner souls." Oh, I said,
"Wow. On the money?"
On the money from someone called Kevin.
Wow.
That's remarkable.
"Did you pay an exorbitant price?" And I said, "I did."
Right.
"How did you know that?" And she said, "Beware of shoehorns."
Goodness, what? That's very specific.
She said that she was a shoe psychic and would I like a personal reading and I'm happy to report back.
Yeah, wow.
Wow, well, I can't wait to hear how that goes. Dr. Norris, of course, orthopaedic surgeon to everybody in St. Albans in regional Melbourne, and I'm sure he'd be available to consult next time he's in the club. If you do have any questions or queries about any large knuckle in your body, please give us a call on 1300 653 891. Leave your details.
And Doctor, we have a flyby system now. You can get points towards your flybys if you come via my clinic.
If you come via the clinic, probably shouldn't be promoting that on ABC Radio National. However, that might slip through the censors. But Dr. Norris, can't wait to get on your slab and have your hands all over me. Duncan Jardine, esteemed second unit. No doubt you're on another exciting adventure in the world of film and television.
Yes, I'll be shooting some OB segments for a brand new series on Gem, which is called Ben Elton, Live from an Undisclosed Location with No Internet Access. So that's going to be great. And then if there's time, I'm hoping to pop down for a quick quad Norris at the Norris Clinic.
Mm. Gosh, I can't wait to see the scars for that one. Well, once again, it's time to bid adieu on behalf of all lonely men everywhere. We are the Lonely Hearts Club. We are Duncan Jardine.
Yes, good evening.
We are Lucas Dawson.
Wang Chung tonight.
We are Dr. Brendan Norris.
Have a great night.
And I am Richard Silk. And as we say here at the Lonely Hearts Club, may all your lovin' be free of cost. Right now, it's Trevor Chappell.